You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 20 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry, the BHP production update, but also on a touch on oil, commodities, czar. How's he reading all of that? Talking with Miles Klitzinger. He's from Transcend REIT. It's a residential property REIT on the JSE. And I'm interested in residential property as a sort of an asset class within that REIT space. And then John Duncan from Old Mutual Investment Group, talking around impact investing and its potential for investors and its purpose, its actual purpose in terms of the investing world. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Fly Safair calls for changes to the Public Holiday Act. They want public holidays to always be on a Friday or a Monday rather than midweek. And I get what they're saying there. I think they're probably right. Although, I'll be honest, I like me a Tuesday or a Thursday public holiday because then you sneak one day off and you get a four-day weekend. Business Day, airport company South Africa posts a 2.6 billion rand loss as passenger volumes plummet. They're seeing domestic travel at about 40% of pre-pandemic levels, still way down. International significantly lower, of course. And it is only their second loss in a 28-year history. I was surprised by that. Morning markets, lots of green. US, we've got the S&P and NASDAQ up 0.75% overnight. Sydney up 0.8% and Tokyo up 0.6%. Commodities mixed, gold 1,774. Brent a little weaker at 84.41. Palladium a little better at 2,092. Rand 1,452. Top 40 looking for about a 200-point open. It's about a third of a percent to the green, and that is 10 cent trades up 2.4% during Hong Kong lunch.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Wayne McCurry, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the early morning. The BHP update, there were a lot of moving parts to it, a lot of maintenance happening and the like. But my sense, and certainly the way the market responded to it, is it was pretty much as expected is probably the best way to describe it.
That is correct. Look, what happened was they did all of this planned maintenance, so it was only oil that actually had an increase in production. Every other commodity was down. Mm. But I suppose more importantly, outlook for the year was completely unchanged.
Yeah, I
think every single item was unchanged, and that reassured the market, and that was fine.
Yeah, so they're happy with that. You mentioned oil. Certainly, we've seen oil being on a bit of a tear lately. I mean, Brent, it's a little bit weaker this morning, but it's still trading about $84.50. What's your read on that? I mean, I know Goldman Sachs are saying 90, but I was digging the numbers over the weekend. Yeah, I don't see a shortage here, as far as I'm concerned. We've got plenty of oil in the world.
There's no shortage of oil. This is an artificial shortage brought about by OPEC and OPEC Plus. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, you know, bottleneck supply issues. So there is no shortage of oil. I actually think we'll see oil, honestly, a lot closer to 70 or 60 by the end of the year than 90 or 100.
Okay.
Because the oil producers don't want a high price because they're already losing the battle against electric and against public sentiment on fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. So in 10 years' time, we'll be consuming 30%, 40%, 50% less oil than what we are now. And this high price will just accelerate that growth. They actually don't want a high price.
Yeah, suddenly you look at alternatives, an EV, you know, if you're sitting in Europe or the US, suddenly it's like, not so expensive with oil at this sort of price. And I mean, we've seen certainly the high oil, high inflation in the US. We got inflation out this week locally. Is oil feeding into that or not so much? Is that part of the rate?
Oil is actually a major part of that. Look, this inflation story is really the only question we have to answer and hopefully get the answer correct. If oil goes to 90 or 100, inflation's not coming down. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if that happens, the only thing that's coming down is the share market. Mm-hmm. So I still think it's transitory, but this is truly the only unanswered question.
Okay, so it's,
that matters.
Yeah, watch that oil price. From that we get inflation. From that we can get equities. Quick last one. Rand, as we're speaking, trading 14.50, been a massive strength in the last couple of days. Mm. I get that the commodities have picked up, but I'm scratching my head around that Rand strength. I mean, it. I'm not.
No, you got me there as well.
Yeah. And is it going to continue?
I don't understand
it. Your expectation for towards the end of the year as we head through to Christmas?
Look, I think 15.50 by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I cannot foresee a rand collapse, even with a commodity downturn, because I think most of the commodity weakness has already happened.
Yeah.
But the rand's flying in the face of what is still, you know, quite a weak commodity cycle in comparison to what we had. Mm-hmm. A couple of months ago, and specifically the commodities we export, you know, PGMs.
Yeah. I mean, the PGMs are up on where they were a month ago, but yes. They're still well down on where they were in the first and second quarters.
Correct.
Of this year. We'll leave it there. That's Wayne McCurry, F&B Wealth and Investments. And that's my question today on our poll, which you'll find on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles at MoneyWeb. The currency, where are you looking forward at the year end? Right? Wayne is saying 15, there's about. You're expecting above, maybe below, or perhaps, as Mteta Tolari will say, it's a rattlesnake and it is impossible to call. Have your vote. Have your say on LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Miles Kritzinger, CEO of Transcend Property REIT on the JSE. Miles, appreciate your time this morning. Transcend, a classic REIT, a real estate investment trust, but in this case, different in that your assets are residential. In other words, you're not into the commercial or the office or anything. You're literally just residential apartments which you rent out to end users.
Morning, Simon. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on the call and giving me obviously the opportunity to chat to you guys. So I think spot on, you know, in terms of what it is that we do, very much a specialist residential REIT. And mm-hmm. I think where the market is at the moment, that they definitely appreciate that kind of specialist expertise. So, you know, very much a focus strategy on the subset of residential property. And I think we see that filter into our results as well, you know, having a very focused strategic view on how we own the affordable properties, how we look after that space and who our tenant base is. So, you know, very different from the diversified funds at the moment. Mm-hmm. But what I do think you see is you see that filter through in our results as well.
And I mean, you know, obviously property's had a tough time, particularly, you know, office has been under massive pressure. Retail, we've got so many malls running around. Logistics has done well. I imagine that residential is I don't want to say immune, but I mean, at the end of the day, we kind of do need to live somewhere. And I suppose it depends which part of that market you're operating in. Who is your target market?
So what's been interesting over the last 18 months is that we've definitely had the catchphrase COVID protected property thrown our way.
Yeah.
So that's been really, really interesting. And in a weird kind of way, it's given us an opportunity to demonstrate, I think, what we've been bashing onto the market about over the last 4 or 5 years, that we are a defensive asset class, that we are resilient in difficult times. But exactly to your point is that people need somewhere to live. In terms of our offering and maybe what makes us slightly different from the other resi players is, firstly, we are an out-and-out rental fund.
Yeah.
So only rental housing accommodation. We've got just over 4,000 units. We do target the low to middle income markets as well. So very much in that affordable rental band of about 4,000 to 8,000 rand rental per month.
Mm-hmm.
But what differentiates us from the other resi competitors is our product and where that product is actually located. So we attach what we call high demand property to our asset class or to our portfolio. And it's because the properties are very much located in suburban areas. They secure complexes. They're near places of work, but they're not the typical inner city CBD types of properties that other resi portfolio owners have. So, you know, looking after, I think, what's a big pool of tenants, and where there's huge demand in the South African market at the moment in that affordable housing space, you know, where I think demand for quality affordable housing will always outstrip supply. So that's very much the target market that we look after, and on a national footprint as well. So we own properties down in the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. We own predominantly up in Gauteng, but very much centered around, you know, the kind of main hubs and municipalities where people go to work.
Your development, I mean, do you develop the estates, or is there a third-party developer, and then you essentially, and do you then go in and take an entire estate, or is there going to be an estate where you might own perhaps a majority, 70%, but there'll be other sort of privately owned properties as well?
So currently our fund's about 2.5 billion rand in terms of asset value. We've got 22 properties which sit in the fund, mm-hmm. and they're predominantly 100% owned by us. So we are in effect the landlord and the operator mm-hmm. of that estate. We've got about 3 or 4 where we've got a bit of co-ownership that sits behind it. But ideally we would like to own the building outright. In terms of development, so we are different from the likes of a Baldwin, where they develop residential and they sell it off into the market. We don't necessarily take that risk. However, we do have a strategic relationship and alignment with a private equity fund manager called International Housing Solutions, IHS. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stock that's held in our fund at the moment actually is born out of those private equity funds. So, back in 2016 when we listed, out of their first private equity fund, we took just over 2,000 units and listed on the Altex. Subsequent to that, you know, we did a significant transaction back in December of 2018, which was about 1.3 billion. That was also just north of 2,000 odd units, and that helped us double up the business size, and that came out of the IHS stable as well. But we do have a network, obviously broader than just IHS, mm-hmm. Which extends to other residential property owners who we tap into and who we buy stock from as well.
Okay, I like this. I've always liked residential as a different type of a REIT, and certainly I think COVID has shown us that. And Miles, you snuck in the value of around 2.5 billion market cap at the point, markedly below that. Miles Kruitzinger, CEO, Transcend REIT, appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with John Duncan. He's head of responsible investing at Old Mutual Investment Group. John, appreciate the time today. It was an investment conference earlier in the month, a lot of it around impact investing. I suppose kick off, how does one define impact investing? When I say the phrase, what are we meaning?
Yeah, so I think a good starting point is just to use the generally accepted four practices that define impact investing. The first and foremost, I guess, is that the investor themselves has an intention to generate some kind of measurable impact. Mm-hmm. The second is that, you know, one must use an evidence impact data in the overall investment process and investment design. That the actual manager must manage towards some kind of impact performance outcome. And then one of the curious things about the impact investing industry, given its intentionality to cause change in the real economy, is this idea that, you know, one must contribute and collaborate to the growth of the impact industry, i.e., you know, if you're sitting on great IP around how you solve for healthcare, you know, one should share that.
Yeah, I got you. Don't sit on it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And the key point, I mean, you know, this is not saying that we invest without making profit. This is still profitable. I mean, an example mm-hmm. that springs to mind would be renewable energy that can have a positive impact on a community, a region, well, the planet, mm-hmm. frankly, and it can generate profit for the investors.
Yeah, correct. So, I mean, I think the an underpinning concept to the world of impact investing is this idea that we live in a world of interconnected sort of systems where the market, society, and the biophysical systems interplay with each other, mm-hmm. and that ultimately we need a growth path that generates profits while simultaneously solving for long-term systemic risk issues in the social and the environmental field. So, you know, a lot of the discussion at the moment is trying to shift the debate from, you know, the old efficient frontier discussion between risk and return to now, if you think about it, as a sort of three-dimensional curved surface, risk, return, and impact. And yeah, it's a fascinating sort of evolution in the markets. A lot of it has been very much dominated by the private markets discussion, but we see a role for the listed markets in terms of driving impact outcomes.
Yeah, that was going to be my next point, is that I imagine a lot of this is private investing, but it certainly the listed is picking up. And if we can kind of push it, and I'm thinking particularly of the African continent here, it can have a sort of secondary impact, which will be markedly improved capital markets in various markets across the continent.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, the great thing about Africa is that we've got this amazing potential to leapfrog. And so when you think about, you know, things like, you know, telephony or off-grid solar, you know, these are leapfrog technology opportunities. And when I think about the growth of the capital markets in Africa, they're still quite nascent. And we really have an opportunity, you know, through the capital markets to bring forward companies that are generating their profit through the production of a good or a service that is actually materially shifting the dial on some kind of long-term social or environmental issue.
Yeah, almost like, you know, the US has their NASDAQ, their Silicon Valley, which is tech-based. We could have, as a continent, we could be an impact-based market, so clean energy, water, and you mentioned services across that range. You mentioned the measurability up front there. I'm imagining that must be an important and, frankly, a challenging part of it, is that benchmark. I mean, some of it, you know, again, I go back to renewable energy. That's probably an easy one to measure, a lot of them, particularly in services, perhaps a lot harder to measure / benchmark.
You're 100% correct in saying that. I mean, there's a lot of, I think, really interesting work that's happening in this broad kind of global community of impact investors. I mean, there are, you know, entities like, you know, the GIN, which is the sort of Global Impact Investing Network, the Global Steering Group on Impact Investing, which are, you know, we see progress in areas like, you know, the work being done by the IFRS Foundation to try and get some sort of standardization into the market around metrics and measurability. So you're 100% correct in the sense that, you know, that does need to be solved. But I would also say that, this is not outside of the realm of what we're capable of as an industry. And, you know, if I just look at, what's been happening, you know, in the South African listed market as an example, you know, 5 years ago, we didn't have transformation information readily available on every single listed company.
Yeah.
You know, as we sit here today, we have our own detailed database on transformation practices of every single listed company. We curate that data. And in the listed markets, we're very committed to driving impact through stewardship. And so, you know, when we're thinking about stewardship in the listed markets, we're able to pinpoint very specifically, you know, companies that in our experience are perhaps maybe dragging their feet on issues around transformation. And I'm not necessarily talking about ownership and control matters.
Yeah.
I'm talking about things that make a difference in the real economy, like skills development and enterprise supply chain development. And as we sit here today, you know, we think every listed company should be getting, you know, 110% of the available points in those categories of transformation, because it can make an impact on the real economy in SA. And since we have the data and we do engagement consistently over time, we can actually track the outcome of that. So we are able to evidence to some of our big institutional clients the impact of our stewardship activity. And that's just one small example of, you know, some of the innovation and thinking that's going on around this use, the use of data in the listed markets, and this idea of, you know, evidencing impact in the real economy.
Yeah, I like your point there. Now, particularly, I take your point. The measurability is a challenge, but make no mistake, we've had challenges before. It's just a challenge to solve, and it certainly is solvable. We'll leave it there. That's John Duncan. He's head of responsible investing, Old Mutual Investment Group. John, appreciate the time. That's it for today. A poll yesterday, we were chatting with Mia Kruger. Clicks or Dis-Chem? We had the Dis-Chem update. A quarter of you were saying clicks. Almost half of you said Dis-Chem. I got to say, that caught me by surprise. A fifth was saying both, and about 10% of you said thanks, but neither of them. Remember, have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management, authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie Nabokhle, Eleanor, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.